Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, America's libertarian voice and independent streaming internet radio station. Available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma to around the world. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano, and this is your antidote to popular talk radio. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Thursday morning, March 10th, 2011. It is now 6:31 a.m. Central Standard Time in the good old USA. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Well, good morning, everyone. During our live broadcast, we invite you to call toll-free 888-773-4496, 888-773-4496. We do have a direct line. I'll give that to you anyway. If you're calling from a cell phone, it wouldn't make any difference, I guess. 646-652-4620. And, of course, we have a an email address, which we'd love for you to take advantage of, especially if you disagree with our comments, to comments@libertytalkradio.com. I respond to each one of them, and I promise you I will do so respectfully, especially if you disagree with me. Folks, I also encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, and that's Sutton, Sutton-Associates.net. Andy puts out a couple of newsletters. He discusses economic issues and how they affect you. We have Andy on our program the third Wednesday of every month and giving us a recap. He's really good. He's a fine person, and he navigates us through all the smokes and mirrors of what is going on, and I rely on him very highly, and I recommend him highly. He has a free newsletter on mytwocents.com and also a paid subscription where you can get personal advice, etc. It's well worth it, folks. Liberty Talk Radio is now available via iTunes for your listening convenience. Please take advantage of that. In fact, our traffic in iTunes has been pretty heavy, which I'm very pleased with. Lastly, I would also like to remind our listeners to subscribe to our reminder service by visiting our website and clicking on the subscribe icon. Also, you know, we have this little map on our website that if you are listening, you can go to the website and you can click where you're calling from, so we have a little dot there, and it just gives us an idea where everyone's from. There's people from all over the world. It's kind of neat, right? Anyway, good morning, everyone. This is Joe Cristiano, Liberty Talk Radio, and we are pleased to be here this morning. Well, this morning, we're going to talk about something that I did many years ago, but before we do that, I just have too many talking points, and there's so many things going on, it's difficult for me to almost focus on one particular issue and, you know, because I get distracted with all the other issues. And I guess they all have a common thread. And that common thread is, you know, is self-government. We don't self-govern anymore. What we do is we wait to be governed. We wait to be told what to do. It's like working for a large corporation. The analogy is perfect. You know, large corporations, no one does anything. You know, they all wait for permission. They're just frozen in place. This is what's happening in Libya, for example, in that no one in Libya would dare make a decision until they knew that Gaddafi absolutely agreed with the decision or wanted it done. Because if he liked it even, disliked it even slightly or wasn't sure about it, you may die, lose your job, or whatever the case may be, or lose your favors. So the place is frozen. We are becoming a nation, believe it or not, like the people in Libya. Now, not to the same extent. I know that if, you know, we make a decision, there's from the government side come down and beat us up. Sometimes they would, but most likely they wouldn't. But we are getting that way. We don't make decisions. We don't self-govern anymore. What we do is we wait for permission. We wait for licensing. We wait for registration. We wait to see if it's okay. And then we do it. This is the thing that stifles the innovation that we need in order to proceed, in order for our economy to grow. And our economy just ain't going to grow, folks. ain't going anywhere because we're all waiting for the government or another government program or a stimulus or quantitative easing or whatever you want to call it, waiting for the government to do anything. We don't take it upon ourselves. Remember, the pathway to prosperity, and this is mine, you won't read this anywhere, you know, is that we have to take the initiative, we have to take the incentive, and we have to take the and make the innovation out of it. You create innovation. That creates innovation. And that creation of innovation is the thing that makes us a productive nation. That's why people risked their lives to come to America 100 years ago, because this was the land of the free. Well, they thought that the sidewalks were paved with gold and all that other good stuff. Remember the old sayings about that? But when they did come here, they knew it was up to them. It wasn't up to a feudal lord or somebody like that or an elder. They can do what they want. A lot starved, you know. A lot did very, very well. Most did a lot better than they would have had they stayed in Europe. But now we're like Europe. Why would you want to come here? I wouldn't want to come here. I would want to stay where I am. I would look for... In fact, today, there are many, many people, especially people with means, leaving the country. Now, understand this. When you have people with means, people of means, leaving the country, these are the people, you know, who took the initiative, you know, had the incentive, you know, and created the innovation. These are the people that we want to keep here. These are not the people on welfare rolls. But they're bailing out. Why? Well, they get a better deal someplace else. And that's the way it should be. And not only that, but many of them are frightened. They're frightened if there is some sort of economic collapse or economic calamity, however you want to define it. If there's something that does happen, they don't want to be here because we are spoiled. We are an absolutely spoiled society. You know, we keep on comparing ourselves to the 1930s and the Great Depression and, you know, we've done it before, we can do it again. No, we can't do it again. Because back then we were self-reliant. When welfare came out, people shunted it. They said, no, we don't want that. We want to do it ourselves. Today, people sit around waiting for their checks. You can imagine if there's a stoppage or a reduction. And when I say calamity, it doesn't have to be total collapse. It could mean a reduction in your check from the government. That's a calamity. Because right now you're just existing, subsisting. And once that happens, folks, we're going to be in trouble. And a lot of these people don't want to be around. And I don't blame them. All right. Today's broadcast is going to talk about, we're going to talk about something in my past, corporate exorcism. I want you to think about that word, corporate exorcism. Right? But before we do that, I have a few talking points. A point that I did not make last week regarding the teacher strike. And I made several points about how disappointed I was in the whole situation. The state shouldn't be involved in education. So there's a fundamental problem. There's your core problem there. And teachers, you know, teachers that educate people, they don't qualify to have a union. You know, now, the big point that I wanted to make, and I never did, was the fact that when you have a union, you have it because you want to protect yourself from a mean boss. You know, you're a minor, you have no say at all, you know, conditions are horrible, and if you don't do what they tell you and risk your life for nothing, you know, you may lose your job and your family may go hungry. I mean, this is what we're talking about. This is why unions... you know, first came about. But here we have people, citizens of the United States, who are saying, I have to protect myself from the state. Now, wait a minute. You are state employees. How could you protect yourself from something that you are? The state's supposed to protect your freedom, your rights, and your liberties. But here we have teachers who are highly paid, by the way, and they are, on an index, they're highly paid. They have higher educations than the average people, and they're working with a job that has no risk whatsoever. You know, in everything in life, there's a risk factor. If you invest in a startup company, you may make yourself a fortune, but there's a good chance that you may lose everything. I know I've done that. I lost $140,000 on a company. Straight out the window, out, gone, boom, poof, gone, all right? But that that's what happens. And my friends say, oh, you said, are you going to throw yourself out the window? Hell no, I'm not. That's life in the big city. You know, it was a good portion of my wealth, but, you know, and I picked myself up and it went on. That's the way it is. But so when I buy treasury bonds, or which not getting kind of risky, but you buy bonds or something like that that supposedly don't lose their value, you only get, you know, a 3-5% return because the risk is low. Well, the teachers want to work for the state where it's like investing in a treasury bond, but they want to get the returns as if they're investing in a startup enterprise with no backside to it, you know? No. It doesn't make any sense. But my point being is that the state supposed to be on their side. Think about it. The state's supposed to be there to protect your rights, your liberty. The state has a constitution, talks about the freedom of the people, the commonwealth of the so-and-so, or the state of so-and-so, you know? But yet, the teachers feel compelled to have create a union to protect themselves against the state. You see how this whole thing cannot never be resolved. I mean, they can resolve the issue and say, all right, we'll give you 2%, or, you know, we won't do this, we'll do that. But it doesn't resolve the fundamental issue that teachers who are highly educated should not belong to a union. They should say, hey, you know, you don't want to pay me what I'm worth? I'm out of here. It should be free enterprise system. The state shouldn't even be in the business in the first place. So we have these big fundamental problems, the core problems that still exist. And until we recognize what the core problems are and resolve those, nothing will get resolved. But it really hacks me off that we need a union against the federal government, you know, the state. There's federal employees. Federal employees belong to a union. How could that be? The federal government's supposed to be there. Oh, they're supposed to be the good people. I'm the bad person. I employ people. I'm the bum. I'm the people who, you know, tramples on the downtrodden. I don't care about anybody. Step on everybody. I'm so mean. Just give me the money. Drop that. I don't care. That's what the government says I am. But then when someone works for the government, they have to belong to the union. It doesn't make any sense, folks. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And that's driving me nuts. That's driving me nuts. Let's stop for sensational identification. I got to take a little swig.
You're listening to Liberty Talk Radio. Political talk derived from a historical perspective. Not always palatable, but good food for thought. Pure libertarian talk with host Joe Cristiano. LibertyTalkRadio.com.
Good morning, everyone. This is Joe Cristiano. You're listening to Liberty Talk Radio. We do invite you to call our toll-free number, 888-773-4496. 888-773-4496. We have a direct number if you want to use that on your cell phone, 646-652-4620. And our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com, where you eventually will get to the subject of my corporate exorcism. Hold on a second. These employment figures, that's another thing that's bothering me today. Think about it. The government says that so many jobs were created, you know, private sector jobs. What constitutes a private sector job? No one defines that. For example, the government just gave Boeing a $30 billion contract to build these flying tankers, you know, that refuel planes, which we shouldn't have because that means your planes are halfway around the world and they can't get back unless they're refueled. I mean, this the enormity of that, that means we're not protecting our space, we're intruding in somebody else's space. But I will get into that. That really hacks me off. So we're investing in offensive weapons, not defensive weapons. Oh, we can argue that. Say, oh, they're over there. So it's garbage, all garbage. Now, when Boeing hires the hundreds or thousands of people to build these big flying tankers, question. Are these private sector jobs or are they government jobs? Think about it. Are they private sector jobs? Now we say, oh, well, they are. They are. Well, if the government didn't give them a contract, would they have a job? No. Now, I contend that a portion of these private sector jobs that we gain every month are really as a result of government contracts. I know my company, we do industrial health testing regionally. We have only one or two government contracts. In fact, I think we only have one right now, where we do some actually weekend work, which works out great for us because we never have jobs on weekends. The factories are closed at different government installations. No big deal. It's a relatively small thing, but it keeps us busy. It pays for the rent. Now, when we do that, are our employees public sector? Ha-ha, good question. See, I contend that those jobs are really government jobs. They're public sector jobs. Public sector versus private sector. I've got this all confused. They're not private sector jobs. They're public sector jobs. So when we say that the employment situation is improving, is it improving or is government spending more money? Is more of this, you know, part of that stimulus QE2 garbage stuff? You know, if that's the case, folks, government stimulus works, then none of us should have a job at all. I mean, this is why. I mean, no, sorry. We should just wait for the government to pay us to do something, because these flying tankers do us no good other than create more global warming, according to the government, you know, create more global warming, right? Planes flying around constantly. We are the biggest polluters on the government is the biggest polluter on the planet. But yet they want to shut down industry. But as far as the military, well, we can't touch the military. Oh, you know, our men and women who are fighting for our freedom. You know, what double talk. Unbelievable double talk. I remember when I was a kid, there was my father had an accountant. His name is Nat Farbstein. I'm sure he's gone today. I mean, he was in his 40s when I was 14, you know. And I have to tell the story because I don't know why I relived it this week, and I said, I got to say it on the radio program. This is another talking point before I get to corporate exorcism. And what's interesting is that I was talking to him about business and taxes. I didn't understand that. I was just a kid, and I didn't understand it even after that, I'll be honest with you. He was talking about, well, you know, when you get profits, and at that time, the government got 50% of corporate profits. He said, well, Joe, isn't it fair that, you know, if you make a profit, you get half and the government gets half? That's only fair. And the way he presented it, it sounded so logical. And I thought to myself, well, yeah, but that didn't make any sense. I mean, it sounded logical, it sounded absolutely convincing, but it made absolutely no sense to me. I mean, it really bothered me. And all my life, I replayed that conversation. I mean, that's for decades I played. You know, until I got old, I went, that doesn't make any sense. Just because I made money doesn't entitle the government to half of it, and I get half. What did the government do for it? You know, government works for me, right? The government is a public servant, works for me. Why are they taking half of my money? You know, a couple of decades later, I finally woke up and said, that's the most ridiculous thing. But yet, that's the way people think. That's the way people think. Well, you know, you made $100, $50 goes to the government. It's only fair, you know. And when you think about it, when you give 50% to the government and you take your portion and then you buy gasoline, you find that there's taxes on the gasoline. Then you pay sales tax when you buy something else. Then you come home and you pay property tax on your house. I mean, you don't keep half. You keep maybe a third of that other half. I mean, you're just taxed to death, you know, but it's only fair. I just had to say that because it reminded me, and I said I want to say it on a radio program. Last thing, I wonder how many people saw the Peter Schiff, Dick Morris interview on YouTube, on the computer. Peter Schiff exemplified exactly what our media should be doing. Dick Morris was talking about socialism or something like that. And he said, what I'm advocating is that every student, before they go to high school and every year or every periodically, get drug tested. So Peter Schiff instead said, oh, that's interesting. Oh, thank you very much for being on the program. He says, oh, so you are trading in one form of socialism for another. He says, what do you mean? He says, well, you're forcing people to be drug tested. He says, isn't that a form of socialism? And he says, And he got so many, he says, well, you came in here to interview me and ask me for my opinion. He says, I don't have to listen to it. And he hung up. But Peter Schiff was right. He challenged what he had to say. He challenged what he had to say because it was unconstitutional. But if he was on any other program, they would have said, well, I thank you very much. That's a very interesting point of view. It would have been garbage, absolute garbage. And the guy hung up, and Peter Schiff continued the program by himself. He said, I'm going to continue this program by myself. He said, that makes no sense. He's trading in one form of socialism for his form of socialism. And he went on talking about that, and he made sense. You know, my hat goes off to Peter Schiff. You know, I love that guy. I think he's great. I think he's absolutely great. All right, let's take a real quick break right before we talk about corporate exorcism.
You're listening to Liberty Talk Radio. Political talk derived from a historical perspective. Not always palatable, but good food for thought. Pure libertarian talk with host Joe Cristiano. LibertyTalkRadio.com.
Good morning, folks. This is Thursday, March 11th. Boy, this year is flying by already. You know, that's amazing. You know, it's about 6:40, 10 minutes to 7. And we don't have that much longer to go. We've probably got about another 20 minutes on this program. We're going to talk about corporate exorcism this morning, and we invite you to call 888-773-4496. That's 888-773-4496. 646-652-4620 is our direct number. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. Two reasons why people don't call. Well, I didn't want to interrupt you. Interrupt me. Please interrupt me. I don't care. And, well, I wanted to talk about something else. Good. This program is for you, not for me. If you want to talk about something else, call and say, do you mind if we change the subject? I'll be more than happy to do so. I may finish my sentence first, but we will change the subject. This program is for you, folks. And, oh, I didn't agree with you, so I didn't call. No, if you don't agree with me, then I want you to call. Let's at least hash it out. If you agree with me, it'd be nice that you call and say you agree with me, but that does no one any good whatsoever. Okay? So really, especially if you disagree with me, call 888-773-4496, direct line 646-652-4620, email comments@libertytalkradio.com.
Political talk derived from a historical perspective, not always palatable, but good food for thought. Pure libertarian talk with host Joe Cristiano. LibertyTalkRadio.com.
Okay, folks, I'm back, and I'm going to talk now about something that this program is supposed to be about, and that is corporate exorcism. Many years ago, I'll tell you about my past, actually. Many years ago, I spoke professionally, or tried to become a professional speaker. I thought that would be kind of neat, kind of silly. But I look back at it, I said, that's a dumb thing. But a corporate professional speaker, whatever that's supposed to mean. I never even understood what that's supposed to mean. And I decided, well, and I, you know, promoted a little bit, got speaking engagements. In fact, I was the keynote speaker at a big quality forum one time, and all this other stuff. Quite frankly, I wasn't very good. I wasn't very good because my feet weren't grounded all that well. I'm talking about 30 years ago, 20, 30 years ago. And my feet weren't as grounded as they are now. And now I have no trouble with that. People can call me to, hey, Joe, can you speak at this club or whatever the case may be? Yeah, you got 5 minutes, yeah, I'll be there. You know, because it makes no difference. My feet are well grounded. Pick a subject. At least I'll talk about what I believe is the core issues. If not, I'll talk about something else. But, you know, I had to really prepare for my speeches, and I was very nervous at the time and the whole bit. Anyway, I talked about poor management, basically. And my wife, one time, when we were coming back from a speaking engagement, she said, you know what you are? She said, you know, I got to give you a title. She said, you are actually our corporate exorcist. And my wife comes out with the most brilliant things. I tell you, she's unbelievably, everything she says, she doesn't speak much. When she does, it's always profound. And I stood there, I said, what a perfect title. And I actually had that trademarked. That's an actual registered trademark in Washington, D.C. It cost me a fortune, but I did that. And now I'm America's foremost corporate exorcist, obviously, because I'm the only one, because I have the trademark. And if you think about what corporate exorcism is, it's interesting. If you just think about it, you know, you go in there and you know, to corporations, or you speak to corporations, and what you do is you seek to expel the demons, you know, like they do in exorcism, you know, from management. And let me tell you what the biggest demon is. And this is going to be surprising. I studied management for years and years and years. I read all of Peter Drucker's books, or most of them. I outlined. I just didn't read them casually, you know, in the car or, you know, on the bus or something like that. I mean, I came home, and when I came home, I cracked those books. It was as if I was going for my MBA, you know. I studied. I outlined these books. I studied them. And I remember that this is, I'm going back now, 20 years. I was reading a book by Peter Drucker, his Bible called Management. That's also Management. And it's about 907 pages long, small print, you know. And I said, I'm going to go through that entire book, outline it, and I will finally understand management. Because although I talked about it, I didn't have my feet well grounded. I just truly didn't have it. I didn't have the hook. I didn't have it. And it used to drive me nuts. I said, you know, anyway, I was reading the book, and I was on page like 786 or something like that, getting towards the end of the book. And I had that day off, and I was actually studying on my day off. And I was sitting in the living room on the couch, and I'll tell you exactly what happened. I had to go to the bathroom. I'm sorry for saying that. But, you know, and I'm walking there. I'm going to tell you exactly what happened. I got up, and I'm walking there, and there's a little hall before we get to the bathroom. And I stood there. It was dark, you know, and I was struck with an epiphany. I had an epiphany that absolutely struck me. Folks, I know you think I'm exaggerating. This is radio talk and bull and whatever. This is the God's honest truth. I mean, it shook me to a point where I had to lean against the wall. Because all of those decades of studying management, of course, and going to school, I had a bachelor's of business administration, studied it there as well. It finally dawned on me what the problem was. That, you know, when I talk about the core problem, I'm always trying to get the core problem, like the teacher strike. The core problem is the state should not be in charge of our education. We should, parents should, you know, that's the core problem. You got to get the state out. Unless you get the state out, you can never solve the problem. And there's always a core problem. You know, teachers shouldn't belong to a union because they disqualify to belong to a union because they're highly educated and they're marketable people. I mean, the whole problem is wrong. And I had this with management. And I used to talk about good management and best management, what they should do and shouldn't do, bada bing, bada bang, bada boom. But it wasn't much different. It was a different flavor, you know, of ice cream, but it wasn't anything different. And I stood there and I had this epiphany, and you would never believe what that epiphany was. And I mean this. I mean, it shook me. I stood there for the longest time. I thought I was going to fall to the floor. It dawned on me. My problem, the core problem, was that I was studying something, but there was no such thing as management. Think about that. And I was out there going, this guy's a nutcase. You know, anyway, there's no such thing as management. You know, I manage this business. I'm a supervisor. Blah, 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 you know, no. You don't stand. You can never manage people. Think about it. Folks, this was an epiphany. This changed my life. And after that, whenever I got in front of a group of people, I was confident. I knew what I was talking about. I knew something they didn't know. And I knew they were hungry for it. And people say, and everyone, whenever I get a retort to that, they go, hey, what do you mean? Of course there's management, you know, this and that. I ask them one simple question. How well do you manage your wife? And that shuts everyone up. And believe me, I get, when I spoke and said that, oh, I get people, oh, you've got to be crazy, like throw the bum out, you know? I say, fine. Someone stand up and tell me how well you manage your wife. Now, there is management. You have to manage your inventory. You have to manage your data processing. You know, there's things that you manage. You know, you manage the maintenance on your fleet. I manage hundreds and hundreds of things. You manage, you know, your cash accounts. You manage things, but you cannot manage people. Now, folks, this was groundbreaking, absolutely groundbreaking, because no one in the world, no one ever said that. And after that, I was liberated. I was liberated from all these stupid management books, from saying, well, you've got to be a manager that does this and does that, and then when you're a supervisor, you have to have empathy and understanding, and you're communicating. It's all garbage. It's a $1 trillion piece of garbage. Trillions of dollars piece of garbage. What you do, you have to hire the right people. That's important. You have to hire the right person for the job. You have to hire someone who's interested in that job, someone who's qualified for that job, someone who's honest, you know, and is willing to work. That you have to do. You have to find a way to hire the right person. Once you hire the right person, let it go. Just let it go. I know it sounds scary, doesn't it? I have plenty of examples, which I won't go in here. Now, why am I bringing this up? Why am I bringing corporate exorcism in a radio program about liberty? Well, isn't that liberating? Shouldn't government be doing the same thing? Shouldn't government saying, your people, you should be self-governing people. In corporations, they should be self-governing employees. And it, folks, it works. If you go back to the teacher strikes, why do you have unions? The only time you have unions is when management invites the union in. They always invite the union in. Always, 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 always. And how do they invite the union in? They treat people with such disrespect that people can't take it anymore. As Gerald Celente says, when people lose everything and they have nothing else to lose, they lose it. And then they join a union. And what's the end result of that? Everybody's a loser. Absolutely everyone's a loser. But there is a little bit of gain, and that's to the elite. Those politically connected people in the union are the winners, and the politicians are the winners. The people that we probably detest the most, they're the winners, and we allow it. But who allows it to be allowed? Management. People ask me all the time, you must be anti-union. Hell no, I'm not anti-union. I'm anti-lousy management. Just think, if you worked at a company and everyone felt this way, everyone felt that they were equal. Think about this, folks. I really want you to think about this. Everyone felt equal. They simply had different jobs to do. And you were treated with the utmost of respect. I mean, the person who was opening the mail was treated the same way as the vice president, as the CEO. Everyone was treated the same. Would you join a union? Why? I mean, think about it. Oh, yeah, you get union, get more money. You know, and then what happens? And then there's no more respect for anyone. Do you want to make a little bit more money and be treated with disrespect? Because the union's going to treat you with disrespect. They're going to put rules and regulations on you and your job where you can no longer function. Now, would you say, well, I want to have a job where I can no longer function as an individual and be treated with respect as an individual? I want to treat it out because I can get another dollar an hour. That, folks, will never happen. Will never happen. Let me give you an example. My wife's an audiologist. We went to the second largest manufacturer of hearing aids in the world. The company is owned by this fellow, Bill Austin, owns the whole thing, the whole thing. I will tell you, it's a remarkable story. When he goes somewhere, half of Hollywood follows him. Free. I mean, they don't charge him anything. He has some event. He goes overseas. He's constantly overseas, fitting hearing aids on, you know, children in third world countries that, you know, he himself personally. The biggest Hollywood source beg, could I go with you, Bill? Other companies have to pay $30,000 for someone to show up at one of their conventions just to be there. You know, so here's actress so and so. You know, he goes somewhere, they all climb on board. He doesn't pay him a dime. I went there with my wife. They had a convention. He had his own conference. And my wife says, you know, Joe, honey, you're losing your hearing. I said, I know. You know, my hearing's getting lousy. She said, maybe we'll fit you with hearing aids. Guess who fitted me with hearing aids? Bill Austin. Now, does he fit all the hearing aids? Obviously, no. But when you walk in, it's a gigantic three buildings. I mean, gigantic complex, you know. When you walk in, he doesn't have an office. He's out there, you know, at one of the tables, you know, looking at the circuits and, you know, putting together, talking with people. And you wouldn't know who he is. You'd think he's just one of the workers. And people pass by, the people emptying the trash, the technicians, the, you know, everybody, you know. Hey, Bill, what about this? Okay. Never saw him get mad. Never saw him tell anybody what to do. This guy has got to be one of the richest men in America. I'll tell you how rich. He has, from time to time, I think almost every other year or something, he rents the largest cruise ship in the world you can find. Cruise ship, the whole cruise ship. He pays for the whole cruise ship for an entire week. I think it's 8 days and seven nights. He invites hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. Everything is free of charge, including folks, your airfare to wherever the ship is from. If it's leaving from Florida, he'll pay for it. And the place is jam-packed. And there's only one condition. You pay for nothing. And you cruise the Mediterranean. We did it one time. I couldn't believe it. I mean, I could not even figure out how much this was costing him. This is how wealthy this guy is. And yet, when you go into his complex, I mean, you will find him doing some research, building a hearing aid, fitting a hearing aid, talking to him, you know, what about this, what about that, you know, finding what's going on. You know, he's just one of the guys. He's a worker. He's a worker bee. You know what? They have no union. I wonder why. You see, people are left to their own initiative, which creates the incentive, which develops the innovation. And you see, although Bill Austin's never said that, that's exactly what he does. That is what our government is doing and killing. That's why when I started speaking, once I had this epiphany that there was no such thing as management, I was starting to speak deep inside and I addressed the core problems. And I truly enjoyed speaking. Unfortunately, my company started to grow, had problems, and I just had to quit. And I think I'd like to get back to it. But if anyone wants me to speak at a place about corporate exit, I would love to. Just give me a call, 888-773-449. No, don't call that number. But do send me email at comments@libertytalkradio.com. I'll be there. I'll have a ball. And you know what, something? I'll be honest with you. I won't even prepare. Don't have to. Because I know where I'm coming from. You see, the problem that most people have about government today is they don't know really what government should be doing. Well, should government be doing this? And if they are, how much should they do? Should they take total control or just be participate? Should they be a partner with business? No, government should be transparent, shouldn't be anywhere. The only purpose for our government, and the only purpose for our government, is to ensure that the government we have today never exists. Think about that. Their job, the government's job, according to the Constitution, is to ensure that the government that we have today never exists. See, we need a government exorcism. And a government exorcism would wipe everything out. Everything. There would be millions of people on the streets, just like they did when they came here from overseas, especially from Europe and Western and Eastern Europe, came here. There was no job, no welfare. Either they found their way or they went hungry and some starved. And that's what we need to do. Get all these government employees out on the street and say, you know, folks, make your own way now. If you don't, you will starve. That's the way it's going to be from now on. We're going back to the good old days. And you know what? We will suffer a very, very severe depression. Very severe. The most severe depression that the world has ever known. However, once we go through the cleansing process, we will come back with a vengeance. We will be an energized people. We'll be people who are totally free. People who don't need an exorcism. We don't need a government. We went through the corporate exorcism. Now we just have to exercise. We need an exorcism of our own minds to realize that it's up to us to make our lives, and it's not up to anyone else. We realize that we will create some sort of, we will have the initiative to create the incentive that develops some sort of innovation in our lives. And it'll be not only to our benefit, but everyone's benefit. And government will not be involved. And yes, a rising tide in that case will raise all boats, will lift all boats. But at first, we have to drain the pond. And that's what we're not doing. What are the Republicans and Democrats doing? They're arguing over a few million dollars on a program, left, right, conservative, garbage. We need to not build those $30 billion worth of tankers. We need to bring all of our boys home. We need to make everyone, a defender of this country by just eliminating all the gun laws. We need to be a self-governing people, as we were 100 years ago, where people, and that's why people came here. They came here because it was self-governing. They didn't want to be governed anymore. They didn't want to be under the heavy hand of a big bureaucratic government, and they came here. And what have we done? We've squandered it. World War I, we squandered it, and in World War II, we did it in spades. And do you know, we built thousands and thousands of ships. Thousands of ships, folks. Not five or six. Thousands of ships. All of which are lying at the bottom of the ocean. We depleted our resources. Now you say, well, we had to go in World War II. We helped create World War II. Read your history. We helped create it. We starved out the German people, which made it possible for someone crazy like Hitler to take power. We had a hand in it. And we have a hand in so much of this. We must go back to self-governing. We need an exorcism of government. Just like we need an exorcism of our corporations. That's why I became a corporate exorcist. And I had fun doing that. And I felt good about that. We need now an exorcism of government. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be horrible. But without it, it's going to be horrible for a longer period of time. And those are my talking points today on Liberty Talk Radio. Okay? And I do wish you would call, write me, since it's too late to call now, we're going to go off the air soon, within a minute. If you would send your email to comments@libertytalkradio.com, I really would appreciate them. I really would. I'd like to get some feedback. All right? All right, let's see. Where are we? Where are we? Let's see. Okay. Okay, there's the music. Okay, that means I got to sign off. All right, this is the end of today's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranch Acres Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. Ranch Acres Audiology is a family hearing practice at 3227 East 31st Street in Tulsa. They may be reached at an area code 918-749-7711. Call them for all your hearing needs. You'll be glad you did. Folks, you can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. Remember, you're either allowing your liberties to be taken away or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there is no middle ground. Ron Paul has a sign on his desk that says, "Don't steal. The government hates competition." With that, until next time, I'm Joe Cristiano. This is Liberty Talk Radio. Stay well. Stay tuned.